Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson, and today I am bringing you a biotech company, and it is called Alterity Therapeutics. ASX code is ATH. With me today is the newly appointed CEO, Dr. David Stamler, all the way from San Francisco in the good old US of A. David, lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us today on Small Caps.
Hi, Kerry. Pleased to be with you.
Let's just talk a little bit. Listen, I have to ask this question. The name Alterity Therapeutics, where did the name Alterity come from?
Yeah, so Alterity means the state of being different. We came up with that name a few years ago, and I think it really accurately represents what we're trying to do. We're focusing on neurodegeneration, and we're trying to change the state of patients from a disease to health. And we're trying to do that by, if you will, changing the state of these misfolding proteins, which contribute to the pathology in disease, from, you know, kind of this unfolded and aggregating state that causes disease to its normal, natural state. So we're really trying to change the state of things for patients.
Yeah, well, if I can just say that you are developing therapeutic drugs to test the underlying causes of degenerative brain disease. And that is things like Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's, which, as we all know, we have an aging population globally. I'm not getting any younger. So please come up with a solution very quickly. But it's an increasing, not a decreasing problem. But is your focus right now, because I note as well for our listeners out there that most recently you have been getting funding from the Michael J. Fox Foundation for your work into Parkinson's disease. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we're focused. Thanks. We're focused on what's called Parkinsonian disorders. So Parkinson's disease is the most common cause of that set of disorders, because people recognize the movement disorder that patients have. So we are focused on these disorders. The funding from the Michael J. Fox Foundation is very important, because although our lead development program is an atypical form of Parkinsonism, the grant from the Fox Foundation is really allowing us to optimize the dose of our lead program for studies in Parkinson's disease. So it represents independent validation from a very reputable scientific body about our approach. And it's also the second grant we've received from the Fox Foundation to support this program. So they funded us in the past, and this is just an extension as we get later into development. So very exciting to get their endorsement.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that you are doing. You've got a lead drug candidate, which is called ATH434. And I believe that's when you said before Parkinsonian disease, because we all know Parkinson disease. So there's a set of degenerative brain diseases that are called Parkinsonian. Is that correct? And is ATH434, is that your lead candidate to address that?
Exactly. So 434, or ATH434, or call 434, is the lead candidate. And we are going first for an atypical form of, or an atypical Parkinsonism, a rarer form. Because the pathology between Parkinson's disease and this atypical form of Parkinsonism that we're going after is very similar in terms of some of the underlying proteins and some of the underlying pathology. We are going after the atypical form initially, but we're very interested in going for Parkinson's disease as well. And there are many other groups and academics that are focused on Alzheimer's disease and think that the same biologic target that we go after, which is iron. We should probably talk about that a bit, but the iron may be centrally involved in not only Parkinson's disease, but also in Alzheimer's disease.
So iron, explain to me iron. You mean as in iron that we inject, like what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So iron is a very important element. It's essential for life as we know it. You need iron to generate energy in all your cells. You need iron for many of the enzymes in your body to work. And obviously iron is critical in red blood cells to just help carry oxygen to tissues and deliver it. So without iron, there's no life. However, in many diseases, many important neurodegenerative diseases, there's too much iron. And when iron is present in excess, it actually can wreak havoc. I like to think of iron as nuclear fuel. A small amount of nuclear fuel in a nuclear reactor is necessary to generate energy. But when there's too much of it, or when it gets out of control, a nuclear reaction can melt down. In the same way, a small amount of iron is required for normal bodily function to do all these things that I mentioned. But if you get too much of it, it causes oxidative stress, it generates free radicals, it causes proteins to misfold, and it causes pathology. And that's what we're going after. We're targeting with our lead drug that excess iron, and we're trying to redistribute it and get it out of harm's way.
That is fascinating. How do, like, because when you mention iron, I'm thinking of, who was it? Was it Popeye that ate the spinach with the iron and became strong? Because that's my thought process at the moment. But how do you build up excess iron? Do you eat too much spinach, or is it just your body can't process it? Or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's some diseases where there's just too much iron in the body. So diseases like where people require excess transfusions because they have red blood cell diseases, those sorts of disorders are not what we're targeting. The problem there is once you get the iron in the body doesn't have a good way of getting rid of the iron. But we're talking about these neurologic diseases. And it's not entirely clear what causes the iron to increase in these tissues. They tend to be, the iron is there in high levels because it's necessary to make certain, brain chemicals. But somehow when the disease becomes activated and there's too much iron, it kind of goes out of control and the body doesn't have a good way of removing the iron. So that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to deliver the drug to the body in those areas where there is too much iron, to bind it and, if you will, redistribute it, pull it back into circulation where it can be used for normal energy production and normal metabolism.
I love the way you made that so clear, and it makes total sense to me. Are you the only company that's looking at it in this way with the 434, or are there other companies out there, some of the big, because you're quite a small company at the moment. Are there other companies doing what you're doing? You've done phase one clinical trials. We'll talk about that in a minute. But is this unique, what you're doing?
Yeah, it really is. I think there are some, the big companies that are focused on iron are talking about that first set of diseases where there's iron overload. So they're trying to basically go in and pull iron from the body. That way. When it comes to what we're trying to do in neurologic diseases, there are very few organizations, very few companies that are looking at binding and redistributing iron the way we are. There happens to be one drug that's in development that actually helps support our concept. One of these drugs that is approved for binding and removing iron from the body. And it's been shown to work in Parkinson's disease, which kind of helps validate our concept. But the drug, I think, has some significant safety issues. The FDA wouldn't let the trial progress in the U.S. So we think we've got, a gentler approach towards binding and redistributing that iron in this rather fragile patient population.
Yeah, fragile, exactly. I mentioned before that you've done stage one clinical trials on this lead drug candidate 434. Where are you at now going into stage two? And what are the implications for, I guess, those looking to invest in a company that I believe has been flying a lot under the radar lately?
Yeah. Well, so for the audience, we've actually done our phase one studies in Australia. We very much like doing studies there. At this point, we're now preparing for phase two. We've been doing the required manufacturing of the drug and completing all the non-clinical work that we need to do to progress to a trial. And we've had our regulatory interactions. We've met with the FDA last year. We're concluding getting feedback from the European regulators. And now we're actively preparing for the phase two study. We're identifying sites through feasibility, putting our final regulatory strategy in place. And then we expect to be enrolling in the second half of this year. So I think it's definitely an exciting time for us with the start of this phase two study. It's always a challenge to start a new study. There's lots of moving parts, but I've got a great team that I've worked with in the past that, you know, we've been able to get approved drugs through the FDA. So with this very strong team, I'm quite confident that we're going to be able to do it again and come up with a really good trial and trial strategy.
David, it was remiss of me because I did want to start the interview with this, but we didn't do it. So I'm going to ask you now, what's your background? Because I know that you're very passionate about this. And before you became the CEO of ATH, you were the chief medical officer. But what is your background, which makes you so passionate about this particular area?
Yeah, so I am a medical doctor. I've been working in drug development for the better part of 25 years. The team that I just referenced, we worked together to get a drug, two FDA approvals in 2017 for treating neurological disorders. And, I and our whole team are strongly motivated to address these huge needs for patients. I mean, and as we turn towards Parkinson's disease and this atypical form that we're going after, there are no drugs approved to treat the underlying causes of these diseases.
Yeah.
So that's really my motivation. I think with the recent success that our team has had with those other approvals, I felt it was important, and why I really wanted to come to Alterity was to work on drugs that I thought would really interfere with their underlying process and modify or slow the disease. And in some cases, you hope to stop the disease progression. So that is the real motivation. And I really feel that this class of molecules is interesting and has an excellent chance of working. And there's a lot of energy in the space, but I think our approach is definitely unique and is targeting the right part of the pathology in these patients.
So you're pretty excited about what the future will hold, because, as I say, you know, you're recently appointed as the CEO. What are the what can investors, current investors, and also those that are watching you today, why is ATH such a potentially really interesting company to invest in at the moment?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, this disease that we're targeting is, there are no approved therapies. So I think pursuing a disease where there is a huge unmet medical need, where people tend to not survive for more than 6 to 8 years after diagnosis, where there are no approved therapies, there's real opportunity. It's also a challenging disease to work in. Because we're modifying the course of the disease, early in the stage of illness, it can be challenging to make an accurate diagnosis. And for a clinical trial to succeed, you've got to have a homogeneous population that really represents your disease. That's challenging in what we're doing, but part of the challenge brings real opportunity. And as we've constructed our development program with not only the phase two study that we have, but we're doing this natural history study right now as we speak, where we're enrolling patients that are that have the same clinical presentation as the patients we want to look at in phase two. We're really trying to optimize how to diagnose those patients accurately. And we're really tracking their progression, and we're really looking to identify biomarkers that we want to use as endpoints in the trial. And by really fine-tuning how we identify that patient population, and by choosing the right biomarkers to use as the endpoints, we maximize our opportunity to have a positive phase two trial. And that would represent, obviously, a very important value inflection point from an investor standpoint. It could be a springboard for us going to phase three.
What's your timing? Sorry, Dave, to interrupt you, but what's your timing on phase two, phase three? Have you got some parameters around that?
Yeah, so we will be enrolling the phase two study in the second half of this year. We'll commence enrolling. We are planning to read out data about 12 to 18 months after we commence enrolling. And then after we get that top line data, that would form the basis for going to meet with regulatory authorities and putting together a formal phase three program. So we're looking at, significant value readout from the data, at the conclusion of that phase two trial in about 18 months. And I think it's at the end of 22 is what we've communicated. And but before then, we've got a lot of interesting activities. I mean, we haven't disclosed formally the feedback we had from the European regulators. We'll be doing that soon. We expect to be presenting data from our natural history study that I mentioned previously at conferences later this year. We do expect a couple of major publications on new animal data, as well as studies that will help elucidate the mechanism of action of the drug. It's a very interesting scientific topic. Then we'll proceed to having regulatory filings with the European regulators and with the U.S. FDA, and we would disclose that information. Then, of course, we would announce our first patient enrolling. So I really view the rest of 21 as setting the foundation for a successful phase two trial as we continue to elaborate both the basic science and the setup for the clinical study.
Well, it's a wonderful area that you're working in, and who knew about excess iron? You know, all I knew was, yeah, we kind of need iron, but I didn't realize that it really is so important to keeping us, more positive in health terms. And if you can crack that code of making sure that the iron, I guess, goes in the right way and that you don't get this buildup of excess iron, it makes so much sense to me, but it's cracking the code that's the challenge, yeah?
Exactly.
Any final thoughts for people that are listening to you today as to why you think right now is a good time for our small caps investor audience to be looking at ATH?
Yeah, so I think we're really well positioned to create value with this lead asset. I think right now we're probably a bit undervalued. We do get attention when we have announcements like the Michael J. Fox grant, kind of validating our approach. But I think the combination of the fact that we're slightly undervalued and that we've got a very interesting and I think de-risked approach towards a phase two outcome for an unmet, for a significant unmet need represents a great investment opportunity for people now.
David, I just want to finish off by saying we've spoken a lot about the Parkinsonian disease side of things, but this is degenerative brain disease with an aging population. This could potentially, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but this is just my thought process. Are we looking at this potentially, if you crack this code, going across many degenerative brain diseases?
It certainly can. There are other groups that are focused on iron in Alzheimer's disease. We're focused on neurodegenerative, on Parkinson's disease. But, between Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, those are the two most frequent neurodegenerative diseases, and they both increase with aging. So, I think this is definitely a space to be focused on and something that a lot of people are looking at.
Right place, right time. David Stamler, thank you so much for joining us on Small Caps today. Ladies and gentlemen, the ASX code, as I said before, ATH, they've been flying under the radar. Check them out and make sure to keep up to date here on Small Caps. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Kerry.